I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, a Memorial Day tribute to those who have lost their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. But first, Memorial Day is also celebrated as the unofficial start of summer. So we thought you, like us, may soon be getting your grill on. And if your guests are over 21, you might like to serve something a little more sophisticated than Kool-Aid and your grandma's sweet tea. Yes? Well, we have someone here to help you. Callie Crossley is a founding member of Divas Uncorked, a wine tasting club in Boston. She would like to help you become wine savvy, not wine snobby. Callie, welcome, Diva.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. When you first taste a wine, what are you looking for?
First, you want to just look at the color and say, is it a deep color? Is it light? And that sometimes will tell you about the age. If it's a, for example, if it's a white wine, the deeper colors means that it's a little bit older. It could also mean that that's just the variety of wine that it is. Then when you smell it, that's the next thing you want to do. You want to just breathe in the aroma. That's where people get a little freaked out. They say, I don't smell the chocolate and the whatever. I don't know what people are talking about. Well, just take a breath and really breathe it in. And whatever you smell, you'll be amazed at what starts to come up when you're just concentrating on it. So that's what you're looking for. You want some aroma. So after you do the aroma, then you want to taste it. And after you have looked at it and smelled it, then the taste takes on a whole different dimension.
So let's say you're out to dinner and you want to order a bottle of wine for the table. What are some of the questions that you could ask the server?
Well, first, the server is probably going to ask you, what is it that you're ordering? And so let's say you're ordering fish. Traditionally, it's been white wine with fish and red wine with meats. But all of those rules are broken now because there's so much different kind of wine out there, and people, their taste buds have expanded so that that's no longer the hard and fast rule. But I will say that generally speaking, the reason that people paired a white wine with fish was so that the white wine, generally lighter, would not overpower the fish. What you want is a pairing or a matching, something that enhances both the wine and the food. So what you're asking the server, you tell them, I think I'm going to have chicken, and I might have chicken with a butter sauce. What do you have that I might enjoy? You also want to ask the server about price, too. And there is nothing wrong with doing that because there's plenty of good wine that is not expensive. You know, I have some favorite wines that are just cheap, 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 and they're delicious. So,
and I may be revealing a little bit too much about myself here and my own anxieties, but let's say you haven't studied Portuguese or French, and there's a name on the menu that you can't pronounce, and you don't want to come across like a complete amateur. Have you come up with a slick way to get the name without, you know, looking like a dummy?
Well, you know what? It's not so much the name, it's the taste that you're looking for. So say, you'll say to your server, I'm going to have chicken. He may say to you, or she may say to you, well, do you tend to like a little bit sweeter or a little bit drier? And you'll say, I really prefer medium or dry. And then they can say, okay, well, here are some. You don't have to pronounce them at all. Let the server pronounce it. Get around
that. Good advice. So we're heading into summer, and I understand that you have picked out some different wines for us to try. So let's start with a Vinho Verde. And it looks like it's spelled Verde, but because it's a Portuguese wine, it's pronounced Verde.
Exactly. And listen, I'm one of those people that's been mispronouncing it for a couple of years, but it's one of my favorite summer wines.
Okay.
It may be my favorite summer
wine.
Okay,
let's have a little bit of a pour. Here we are. Cheers. Okay, now I'm swirling.
You're swirling. What do you see? What do you see in the color?
Well, it's very light.
It's kind of greenish, right?
Yes.
Slightly greenish.
Slightly greenish. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm assessing the aroma. And to be honest, Callie, it smells just like alcohol to me.
I bet you it has a little citrusy smell.
Okay.
How about a little grapefruity?
Okay. Now I see it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now should I have a little sip?
Yes, have a little sip.
Okay.
Should be slightly fizzy.
It is, actually.
Yes. I call this a faux bubbly. It's kind of like a spritzer. It's great. Remember, we just talked about cheap wines, and this one is cheap. Cheap, 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 cheap.
And what would you serve it with?
You can serve it with fruit salads, cold roasted chicken, crab cakes, and it's a good sipping wine, and it is cheap. If you are paying over $10 for this, and it should be actually way under $10, you have paid too much.
Oops. But moving on. Next we have a Viognier.
Well, Viognier is an extremely food-friendly wine, so I'm wondering if you get the peaches and the apricot. A little bit of honey might come through.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
sorry, Kelly.
Don't take a big swig. Don't take a big swig.
I'll take your word for it. It's a pretty bottle, though. Viognier, where does the name come from? I see that it's from the label that it's an Australian wine. Where's the name coming from?
Actually, the grape comes from the Rhone Valley in France. There's a lot made in tiny batches in California and, as you said, in Australia, because Australia makes a lot of wine in general.
Next, you had a rosé for us. I'm going to pour a little.
Let's talk about rosé while you're pouring it.
What is rosé from? I mean, it looks like it's white and red mix.
Yes, red grapes crushed, and they let them linger a little bit in the juice to get the color. It's pretty. And this wine is dry, though. People tend, because it's a pink color, you tend to think it's sweet. And this is not to be confused with what are known as blush wines like white Zinfandel. That's an entirely different genre that generally is sweet. But these are dry wines that are fabulous across the board in the summer, because this is your barbecue chicken wine. Great, great, great.
And finally, mm-hmm. You had a Pinot Noir, and here's another screw top. I'm going to have to get used to this. The screw
top.
Well,
you know, Pinot Noir is very popular now because of the movie Sideways. Okay. It's a finicky grape to grow, so it's become more and more expensive. So it remains popular with a lot of Americans, but it is tending toward the pricier side. It's really tough to get an inexpensive Pinot Noir.
And I wouldn't have thought of a red as a summer wine, just given what we think of as, you know, red for the heavier meats and the whites as the kind of light and summery.
But so remember, we're moving away from that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are so many that just work very well. This with salmon would just be delicious. And some grilled fish would be fabulous. Ham.
Now, what
absolutely.
Am I smelling here? Now I'm giving my...
What do you think?
It smells heavier, a little mm-hmm. sort of oaky.
Mm, it's spicy.
Spicy. It's a spicy. Okay. Spicy. I can see it. A
little raspberry, cherry.
Pretty color. Having a sip.
Good buffalo wings, too.
Okay. So something heavier, something spicy, kind mm-hmm. of counteract it, would stand up against the spice. Okay, terrific.
Right. But it's not real heavy. It's a sort of light to medium. Pinot Noir comes from the Burgundy region of France. You know, that's Burgundy is a very heavy red wine. So this is much lighter. And this should be served slightly chilled, by the way. Most people
really?
Don't know that. You can put a little slight chill on this red wine. Not cold, slight chill.
Kelly, you are dropping all kinds of knowledge on us today, because I did not know that one ever chilled a red wine.
Absolutely. Sometimes we serve our reds too warm and our whites too cold. So if you do bone chilling cold on any of these whites that we've talked about, you won't get the essence of it. It'll be too cold and you won't be able to pick out the aromas. Sometimes you just let it slightly warm up and you'll be amazed at the difference.
If you were going to plan a wine tasting for friends, something like we've just done here, how many wines should you try? You've given us four. Is that the right number?
Oh, no. This is just to help you go across the board. I'd probably do maybe just two, really, just to start off. Just a good red and a good white. The same kind of wines from different vintners, perhaps. So maybe you have two or three Pinot Noirs, and then maybe you have two or three Vino Verts.
So you would suggest focusing on the same region
or
the same varietal, as you would say.
I would suggest a focus. Mm-hmm. However you want to focus, so that it allows people to really get a chance to try the wine, to taste it, to get comfortable with it, and to start being able to really smell it and taste it and appreciate it through all of the senses, and most importantly, to enjoy it with the food.
And finally, Callie, how do you drink this much wine in one evening and remain socially responsible?
Well, first of all, we're not guzzling. If you go to a restaurant, they're usually pouring way too much in your glass. And most people are going to drink it. Why? Because you paid for it. So I'm not leaving that here. I paid for it. But it's way too much. And you must drink a lot of water. You must hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. And then you can appreciate all the flavors. It'll cleanse your palate. You'll be able to enjoy the food and you don't get wasted.
Okay.
Because that's not the point.
Kelly Crossley, Divas Uncorked. Thank you so much.
Thank you.